So as I said this morning, we're going to hear about how God equips us to serve him. So equips means gives you all the things you need to do something. So God always tries to equip us to serve him, but we don't always listen to get what we need from God. So as well as God giving us all that we need, we have to listen and be responsive when God's trying to give it to us. We're going to hear this morning about three people, all from the same story, and they all had to listen, respond, and then do what God wanted to do so that everything turned out right in the end and God was glorified. So we're going to have some slides on the screen. So we're going to think about the things you need to do before you, these are things that you have to get ready to do something before you're able to do these things well. So can we have the first, so what's this woman doing? Any ideas? Hang on a minute.
Doing her homework.
Doing her homework. Or sitting a test, perhaps. Doing her homework, sitting a test. You have to know all your stuff, don't you, when you're doing schoolwork. It's no use just doing your homework, sitting a test. You can't write if you haven't read and done all the stuff first, can you? You have to know what you're doing. You have to listen to the teacher and learn, don't you, so that you know what you're doing. Right, can we have the next one, please? What are these people doing? They all look very happy to be doing it. Little girl in the red. Do you want to come and say in the microphone so everyone can hear you?
Them driving.
Yeah, where do you think they're going? They've got suitcases on the top of their car. They're going on holiday, that's right. So lots of preparations and things to get ready, isn't there, before you go on holiday. What do you have to do before you go on holiday?
Pack your bag.
And what do you put in it? Do you put in it all the dirty clothes that you've worn for the last week? So what do you have to do there? You have to make sure...
You put clean clothes in.
So you have to get all your clothes ready, don't you? If you're going to another country, there's lots of things you have to remember to take, isn't there? What do you have to take if you're going to another country? Otherwise you won't get in.
Someone else? Sorry, I don't know any of your names, so I'm sorry about this.
Suntan lotion.
What is a piece of something made of paper you need to take so that you don't...
Your passport,
that's right. You need to take all your things, everything you need, don't you? If you're going camping, you need to take all your camping things, don't you? Your tent and your thing to cook your dinner on, your little stove. So that's another thing. You have to make sure that you're well prepared to have a good holiday, because if you're not, and things go a bit wrong, you may not have a very good holiday. What about the next one, please, Tom? What's this little fella doing?
He's playing football.
Right, so what do you have to do to prepare before you play football?
You have to get a ball.
That's right, ball. Anything else? Do you think you need to do some warming up, some running about a bit first so that you're not a bit stiff when you get on the pitch? Probably at your age you don't have to, but when you're my age you would have to. Not that I've ever played football, but what else do you need to do?
You need to put your hat on.
Your hat on and all your right kit, don't you? Your shoes and your shorts and your top. And what about if everyone got on the field and they all went into the same position on the field? That wouldn't work well, would it? So you'd have to talk to all the other people, wouldn't you? All the other footballers, and see who was going to stand where and do what job in the team, wouldn't you? That's a good preparation. Right, can we have the next slide, please? What's this person doing?
He's baking.
Baking, yes, baking, cooking. Looks like they're making a cake, doesn't it? They've got eggs and flour, and I don't know what's in that brown container. Sugar, perhaps, I don't know. So, if you decide you want to make a cake, what do you have to make sure you've got before you make it so it turns out well?
All of the ingredients.
Ingredients, that's right. It's no use going to make a cake and you've got no eggs or no flour, is it? And if you want to make little cakes, you have to make sure you've got little paper things for them to go in, don't you? Right, next one. We've had this fairly recently. The next slide. What's this one?
Then Jacob went down Christmas tree.
Christmas tree, that's right. So you have to do lots of things you have to get ready at Christmas, isn't there? Lots of things. No use waking up on Christmas morning and think, oh, I think we'll have a turkey today, is there? I don't think you'd be very lucky going out to the shops to get one on Christmas morning. So you have to think and prepare, don't you, in order that you can have a nice Christmas. You have to think and get ready and do lots of things in advance. So thank you for being so willing to answer all the questions, all you little girls down here. Thank you for that. So all the things we've seen, it's been very important that we've prepared for them, isn't it? So that the thing that happens in the end is good. And God prepares us to serve him. It's not always obvious to us or to other people how this is happening, but it does, sometimes very slowly and gently. And we're going to hear about some people later on who did just that. We're going to hear in our story.
This reading comes from the second book of Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 19a. Naaman is cured. Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, was highly respected and esteemed by the king of Syria, because through Naaman, the Lord had given victory to the Syrian forces. He was a great soldier, but he suffered from a dreaded skin disease. In one of their raids against Israel, the Syrians had carried off a little Israelite girl who became a servant of Naaman's wife. One day she said to her mistress, "I wish that my master could go to the prophet who lives in Samaria. He would cure him of his disease." When Naaman heard of this, he went to the king and told him what the girl had said. The king said, "Go to the king of Israel and take this letter to him." So Naaman set out, taking 30,000 pieces of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of fine clothes. The letter that he took read, "This letter will introduce my officer Naaman. I want you to cure him of his disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and exclaimed, "How can the king of Syria expect me to cure this man? Does he think that I am God with the power of life and death? It is plain to see that he is trying to start a quarrel with me." When the prophet Elijah had heard what had happened, he sent word to the king, "Why are you so upset? Send the man to me and I'll show him that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stopped at the entrance to Elijah's house. Elijah sent a servant out to tell him to go and wash himself 7 times in the River Jordan and he would be completely cured of his disease. But Naaman left in rage, saying, "I thought that he would at least come out to me, pray to the Lord his God, wave his hand over the diseased spot, and cure me. Besides, aren't the rivers Abana and far back in Damascus better than any river in Israel? I could have washed in them and been cured." His servants went up to him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something difficult, you would have done it. Now why can't you just wash yourself, as he said, and be cured?" So Naaman went down to the Jordan, dipped himself in 7 times as Elijah had instructed, and he was completely cured. His flesh became firm and healthy, like that of a child. He returned to Elijah with all his men and said, Now I know that there is no God but the God of Israel. So please, sir, accept a gift from me." Elijah answered, "By the living Lord, who I serve, I swear that I will not accept a gift." Naaman insisted that he accepted it, but he would not. So Naaman said, "If you won't accept my gift, then let me have 2 mule loads of earth to take home with me, because from now on I will not offer sacrifices or burnt offerings to any god except for the Lord. So I hope that the Lord will forgive me when I accompany my king to the temple of Rimmon, the god of Syria, and worship him. Surely the Lord will forgive me. Go in peace. Go in peace, Elijah said. This is the word of the Lord.
So as I said earlier, and as we've been talking about, we're going to hear in this story about how people listened and responded to and obeyed God. And in the end, the result was good. Naaman was cured, and God was glorified because Naaman, who hadn't previously believed in God, and all his family became believers. So first of all, we're going to think about the servant girl in the story. Can I have the slide, please, Tom? Well, I'll start talking. Oh, there she is. That's her. That's the servant girl. She played a really important part in this story, even though she was only a young girl, perhaps not much older than some of you girls down the front here. It can't have been easy for her, though. As we heard at the beginning of the reading, she was originally from Israel, and she'd been taken from her family and friends. So she'd been a really brave girl. She must have been really scared when this happened, and God was preparing her to do something really brave and good. In Syria, she was taken to the home of Naaman, the man we heard about in the reading. He was the commander of the Syrian army, so a very important man, and was given the job of being the maid to his wife. There was a difficult situation in this home, as although Naaman was a really important high up man in the army, he had a dreadful skin disease, which meant that other people considered him to be unclean. His skin must have looked pretty nasty, pretty raw. And it must have been hard for people in the army to take him quite seriously as the commander of the army when he looked like that. And people must have been worried about going too near him, mustn't they, in case they caught it as well. So the servant girl obviously saw all this going on and plucked up courage and spoke to her mistress, Naaman's wife. And she said, if Naaman goes to see the prophet Elisha in her country, God might heal him. God told the servant girl to do this. And she listened, and she responded, and she was obedient to God. So that's the story starting. God speaks to the little girl and tells her to tell Naaman's wife to get Naaman to go and be cured. So next, we've got a picture of Naaman. I managed to find a picture of him actually having his wash in the river. So it's quite a good picture, isn't it? We can see him having his wash there, can't we, in the River Jordan, and all these people waiting for him and his horse on the land. Must have been awful for him, mustn't it? Must have been really embarrassed to be going round with all this nasty skin, mustn't he? And at first, we hear in the reading, don't we, that he was too proud to listen to what the prophet Elisha told him to do. He must have thought that he was a very important person and that he would be a bit embarrassed to go and have a wash in the river. I know it's what people did in those times, but can you imagine if we were told to go and wash in the river down the end of the road here, we'd be a bit embarrassed too, wouldn't we? It's not something that we'd want to do. It'd be a bit cold this time of year as well, wouldn't it? But Naaman wanted it all his own way. He wanted to be healed and get well. But he wanted it to be done quickly and easily without too much effort, a bit like magic, perhaps. That's what he wanted. But the prophet Elisha reminded him that God was preparing him for an amazing healing and that he had to listen to God's instructions and take action. That meant that he had to bathe in the River Jordan, as we see here, get wet all over, take his clothes off in full view of everyone that wanted to come and have a look. But because he listened and obeyed, he was healed. And through Elisha, he came to know that the God of Israel was the true God, And from then on, he and his family worshipped only God instead of all the other gods there were at the time, because he had healed and saved Naaman. He was also very thankful to the servant girl, but she was the one that started all this off in the first place, telling his wife about God's prophet Elisha. So then we move on to hear about Elisha, the prophet. There he is. So he asks Naaman to take a wash in the River Jordan. But Naaman, as we heard, would have rather done something a bit more heroic so that he could have taken some of the glory himself. But since it was God who was doing the healing, it was only right and fair that God should be recognised and be given the glory. And perhaps Naaman needed to be brought down a bit, needed to be humbled a bit. Elisha was very impressed by the servant girl, and he was also impressed that Naaman was humble enough to listen to the servant girl and then follow his instructions, because as I said, he was a proud person. That must have been a very difficult thing for him to do. As a prophet, Elisha's job was to enable people to get to know God better. That's what prophets did. They told people about God. And through Naaman, other people worshipped God, and God was preparing everyone involved there. So they all got ready. Through a servant girl, through Elisha, and through Naaman. And Naaman and his family and all the people who listened to him, over whom he had influence, started worshipping God instead of the other gods. So Elisha was very glad that God was given the glory for this that happened. So all three of these people in this story had to listen to God and to what he wanted for the situation. Sometimes when we lead our busy lives, we forget to listen, to spend time with God, don't we? We forget to sit down and pray. And so we don't always hear, or we're not always aware of what God is saying to us as an individual, as a person on our own, and also as a church. Everyone responded to this situation in this story, didn't they? The servant girl hadn't listened. The rest of it wouldn't have happened. If Naaman wasn't willing to do what he was asked to do, none of this would have happened. So the servant girl responded to her master's need. Naaman responded to Elisha's instructions. And Elisha responded to what God wanted done. So when God speaks, it's always good to respond. Are there situations perhaps that we've got in our lives, in our church here at Christ Church, perhaps in school, or perhaps to do with someone else or somewhere else in the world, where changes need to be made perhaps? We need to speak to God and listen to what he's trying to tell us that he wants us to do. Are there things perhaps that we need to say or do that may not always be easy for us, like they weren't for the servant girl, that perhaps we need to think, oh, I really need to say or do that. It's the right thing. It needs to be done. So everyone was obedient and did the right thing. God wants us to be obedient to him. What is he asking us to do as a person on our own or as a church in order to make a difference?